They are the greatest sports writers in history. Red Smith, Grantland Rice, Damon Runyon. One day, this man will have read them all. The program's NFL insider, Bob Glauber.
Yes, indeed. After last week's performance, we talked about, maybe making a change with Bob, but management said, no, people like Bob, so you're going to talk to him. So here we are. Here we sit a week later, ready to chat with our man Bob Glauber, our NFL insider from the New York Newsday. Joins us each and every week here in the program, whether we like it or not, and frankly, more actually, probably honestly, whether Bob likes it or not, he's stuck with us each and every Friday. The great, great national football writer from the New York Newsday, Bob Glauber, is kind enough, no kidding aside, to join us each week to talk some NFL football. Hall of Fame voter, big deal. That's Bob Glauber. Bob, how are you, my friend?
Seren, I'm doing fantastic. How are you? Thank you for having me.
No complaints. We're live at Big O Tires. We've got a great special going on right now. They're early Black Friday specials. Did you know that? We're in Lee Summit, 1125 Southwest Oldham Parkway. You'd have to come to Kansas City more than once to know where that is, but trust me, very convenient. A lot of folks live out this way. Right now you can buy three select tires, get one free with paid installation. That includes brands like Ditto and Cooper. Interest-free financing, that's available as well with approved credit. You can find the nearest location at BigOTires.com. Specials include things like oil changes, brakes, car batteries, and more. Big O Tires, yeah, they got all the tires you could possibly ever want, but like a lot more, as they do all kinds of great maintenance and repairs for your vehicles. Me and my family know it. We've taken advantage of it many, many times. So come see them at Big O Tires. Find the location nearest you at BigOTires.com. And, Bob, if you were here, you could register for your chance to win a tailgate package that includes tickets to our local pro team. I'll let you see if you can sniff out who that is. A new grill, $100 to go grocery shopping, and a night stay at the Embassy Suites plus oil changes and alignment for a year from Big O Tires. All you got to do is sign up like this gentleman I think is going to do right now. He's going for it. He's going for the pen. He's ready. He might even have a sandwich from Good Sense. We've got some a Good Sense party tray here while it lasts, so come on down. Also got some gift cards to Charlie Hustle. Might even have some food, some Cajun food for you. But you got to be a friend of the program. That's how it's got to work. So come on down and say hello. Bob, okay, now I've done my reminder. I forgot to mention to folks where we are, because a lot of folks in Lee Summit say, how come you never come out to Lee Summit? We come out to Lee Summit. You got to come out when we come out. That's what's got to go on. All right, Bob, let's start with what's the biggest story? Is it finding that fat black cat at the Meadowlands or whatever you call that new place that Kevin Harlan described running all over the field? Is that the number one story in New York? When are we going to find that fat cat that interrupted the Giants and Cowboys?
You know, that was not only a cat. That was a mix of a cat and a horse. I mean, that cat was nasty, man. It was big and mean. That was funny. That was really funny. I got a good picture of the cat on the big video board and a tiny picture of him going toward the end zone as Kevin did such a remarkable play-by-play of that cat walking into the end zone. He's great. I had a chance to see him after the game and congratulated him on that. He's a good dude.
We're going to talk to him at 5 o'clock, and we've got his call, so we'll play that call again then. But he is absolutely brilliant when it comes to that kind of thing. Whether it's a drunk or a fat cat, he will not only keep you up to date with what's going on with the play, but also any other shenanigans that might be happening on the field. What I thought was the best part of his call was that he said the cat's going this way, and so is Mark Ingram. He went back and forth from describing the action to describing what was going on with the cat. There's never been better than Kevin Harlan, is there?
No, he is. He's gotten to be an institution. And, you know, nationally, he is so well-respected. And, you know what I love about Kevin? He's talented. He's accomplished. He's successful. And he's still a regular guy. And I knew his father a little bit, Bob Harlan, the former Packers president, and you know you kind of understand why Kevin the apple didn't fall far from the tree with that family.
No, no, and that is, he is as great a broadcaster as a better guy, just an absolute peach of a guy in Kevin Harlan. He's the best I've ever heard. I mean, and that, when you hear him cross back and forth from describing a cat running on the field to the play and never miss a beat, it's unreal.
Yeah,
it's absolutely unreal. All right, let's talk about the game last night, Raiders and Chargers. Besides setting the sport of football back 5 years, what did you take away from that game?
You know, that was just a weird mishmash of a game. And it was, you know, Raiders good early, Chargers come back, Rivers looking like he's found the fountain of youth, and then he melts down. Now, that last drive, okay, first of all, the Raiders winning drive was impressive. The tackling was very poor on the touchdown run by Jacobs, you know, on the winning touchdown. It almost looked like they let him go, so they had some time to, you know, tie it. But the play calling was horrendous on the final drive. I mean, I think Rivers was 0-for-8 on the final drive. Why are you, with three timeouts and a minute left, why are you passing on every down? You have time to run it, and your running game was doing well. Melvin Gordon was having a night. That was a weird one in the AFC West. But, you know, listen, give credit to the Raiders, and honestly give credit to John Gruden, who took his lumps last year and was hit in the face many, many times for what he was doing with that team and how he built it. And, you know, this team is in playoff contention, and it's a good thing to see for Raider Nation in their final year in Oakland.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I thought Hard Knocks was an embarrassment for them. I thought they looked really foolish, and I'm not going to back off of it. But because I thought what we saw was like, oh, my Lord, how can you have confidence in what they're doing? Now, we only saw a little bit, and I think they were incredibly guarded and signed off on almost nothing that was good. I couldn't believe the broadcast last night were like, oh, Hard Knocks was great. Shut up again, your buddy Joe Buck, because you're clueless. The Hard Knocks sucked this year. But I've said all along, you know, I give this a shot to absolutely work. We've got to remain patient. And I think, you know, getting a lot of draft picks, here we sit a year later. And listen, it was a bad game. The Chargers did a lot to shoot themselves in the foot. But I can't get excited when my team's the benefactor of the Chargers chargering it and then not say, hey, at least you were there. If they're going to give you the game, you still got to reach out and take it, which the Raiders did, so I give them all the credit in the world. But think about where we are. Flip back to a year ago, and you mentioned it. Just the boob that John Gruden was, the comedic hiring of a television guy as the general manager, and the Bears, the geniuses for trading for Khalil Mack, and now who's the boob and who's the genius a year later?
I know. I know, sir. I mean, you have to – that's why you kind of have to take the long look at things. It's hard to do it in an instant analysis world, and that trade looked like really an abomination. That, you know, Gruden is not willing to spend money on a premier pass rusher. The Bears had a season last year; they were a kind of a dark horse Super Bowl pick in a lot of people's minds this year. Now they have been terrible. The draft choice is going to get better for John Gruden next year as part of the Khalil Mack trade. And the Raiders are suddenly a competitive team. And, you know, I did not like that. I mean, Chucky was in the black hole hugging fans and going crazy after that game. And he said, you know, I saw some costumes in there I had never seen before. And it was, I mean, that was vintage Chucky. And how do you not like that?
I think he's a very likable guy. You had to have been around him some. Is he as good a guy as he appears to be?
I wouldn't say he's a warm and fuzzy guy. He's got personality. And if you're around him a lot, and I wasn't around him an awful lot, but enough, where, you know, he can kind of grate on you a little bit. The shtick kind of gets a little bit much, and people in Tampa kind of got a little tired of him, but overall, the guy's got personality, and he was really into his job at ESPN. I did not think he would come back, and I know his agent quite well, Bob Lamont, who kept telling me that, teams are coming after Gruden. You wouldn't believe it. And I'm like, come on, Bob, really? no, I'm telling you, they are. And, you know, 10 years, $100 million, the Raiders were clearly very interested, really, ever since he left, in getting him back. So, you know, obviously it's starting to kind of take root. The Antonio Brown situation and nightmare is past, and they moved on, and, you know, they're doing okay.
What do you make of Derek Carr, 14-4 on the year, passer rating over 100? I mean, he's not incredible, but talk about a guy that's really kind of resurrected his career. Again, think about it. Mitch Trubisky and the Bears, they got it right group, and staying with Derek Carr was supposed to be – you know, foolish. Is he the guy long-term now? Yeah, they were certainly selling it hard, the broadcast crew last night, that he's where they want to be at quarterback. Or do you think Gruden still has his eyes looking somewhere else?
You know, Soren, I think he is the long-term guy, and I think that Gruden came to that decision maybe a little bit grudgingly. I think that Derek Carr had to show him some things last year just in terms of his grit and non-sulkiness. You know, sometimes Derek Carr could get into a little bit of a, you know, funk before Gruden got there, because, you know, remember he had that great season a few years ago, and then, you know, it just went sideways a little bit. The leg injury set him back, and I think that Carr has what Gruden wants to see in a quarterback. You have to summon that toughness as a quarterback. It doesn't always go well. You got to be willing to kind of fight through it when it goes bad. And Carr has that. He, you know, he's a competitor, loves to play, and I think you're seeing the benefits of having a guy like Gruden, who is demanding, yet I think a good teacher and a good quarterback technician, who I think is doing pretty well, you know, with Carr. And I think Carr and he have this mutual respect that they've earned over time. I think he had to earn it. I think Gruden tested him, and Carr passed that test, and I think he is the long-term guy.
Interesting. How good do you think they can be? The Raiders, I'm talking,
well,
this year.
I think they can be wild cardish good. I think the Chiefs are still the class of the division, especially now that Mahomes is back. Even, you know, I think Andy Reid did a terrific job with Matt Moore. But I think, you know, wild card type improvement. You know what? 9-7, 10-6, with a couple of breaks, 11-5. I don't think they're, you know, they're not going to win the rest of their games, but they're going to be, I think that they'll continue on this track of, you know, being tough and being a competitive team, and maybe, you know, kind of squeeze out a wild card win and before losing in the divisionals, and then going from there and kind of going into Vegas on obviously an upswing.
All right, so the playoffs are not decided then in the AFC. If the Raiders,
no,
you've got coming in as the wild card.
No. I'm saying, how good can they be? I think they can be wild cardish.
Okay.
I don't know that that's going to happen, but I'm not predicting that. But I mean,
well, think
see what they got.
Think about this. I don't know if you've had a chance, because I know you've got that epic clash. I'm sure it's all hands on deck for the New York Newsday to see the Jets and Giants walk out on the field and set back football about 10 years. I've used that joke twice today. I'm gonna have to find a new one. To die like a black fat cat on the field there at the Meadowlands when that happens later this weekend. But the next two games for the Raiders: Bengals at home and at the Jets. That would bring them to 7-4 on the year. The game after that, December 1st, at Arrowhead Stadium. I think that the Oakland Raiders, with that win last night, just made Chiefs fans stay up late on December 1st, because that game will get flexed to Sunday night, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that would be a terrific matchup. That's a good point. I hadn't thought about flexing at that point. But, yes, I think that would be a great matchup. And if they go in on a roll like that, I mean, the Raiders are a very watchable team. And I think Gruden has kind of gone a long way toward it. He's a magnetic guy. The guy, you love to watch him. I'm watching him on the sidelines last night. He's making these faces, and I'm like, he's got to be faking it. No, I mean, it's like he's almost imitating himself. But that, I mean, that's who he is, and you know, he's feeling it. And when Chucky is feeling it, that's a good thing for football.
Pat Mahomes is back for the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll talk about that next. Bob Glauber is our NFL insider. He joins us each and every week here in the program. Always great to have Bob with us. Bob Glauber from the New York Newsday, as he is wanting to spend some time with us. And, of course, Bob, always brought to you by our good friends at Worth Harley-Davidson North, I-29 and Tiffany Springs, 9400 Northwest Prairie View Road. Whether it's new or used, Harley-Davidson's, they got you covered. If you've got the title on something, they'll trade for it. Go see them today, Worth Harley-Davidson North, 9400 Northwest Prairie View Road. I'm broadcasting live today at Big O Tires in Lee's Summit on the outer road here at about 50 Highway and 3rd Street, 1125 Southwest Oldham Parkway. If you want to stop on by, registering people for that ultimate tailgate package. Tickets, new grill, $100 to do some grocery shopping, to put some food on that grill at the tailgate. Plus a night stay at the Embassy Suites, oil changes and alignment for a year from Big O Tires. Take advantage of their early Black Friday deals now through December 8th. Find the store nearest you at BigOTires.com.
The program with Seren Petro. Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
What?
Scared me for a second. Good Sense end of the hour answer. On this date in 1970, Tom Dempsey kicked his then record 63-yard field goal. Two Chiefs kickers have attempted longer field goals. I asked for either one.
Well, I danced around this. I knew one had happened in the Andy Reid era, and I think I guessed every kicker that had kicked for Andy Reid until I got to Cairo Santos. And that's correct, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then
2015.
Jan Stenerud, I got after that, yeah. Yeah, because they used to like to line up those long ones back then. They weren't really worried about the field position on the other side because offenses weren't that good, so no. It didn't matter that you were giving up field position. Yeah. And the ball went back to the 20, didn't it, on a miss?
I think it might have in the 70s. I don't think it obviously didn't in 15. But it may have in the 70s. I'm not sure when that was. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure it was the 20. It went back like it was a touchback. So if you missed, as long as it went out of the end zone, you got the ball at the 20. So Cairo Santos and Jan Stenerud playing for Good Sense. You can go to goodsensesubs.com and order. Grab it, take it home for a little dinner, or get a party tray this weekend for the game, as we've got a Good Sense party tray with us here at Big O Tires. Again, order at goodsensesubs.com. Make sure you get the app downloaded on your phone and get signed up for that loyalty club. 10% back every time you order at goodsensesubs.com and on the app. Take advantage of it right now. Big O Tires, you can take advantage of their Black Friday deals. They've rolled them out early. Now through December 8th, savings on oil changes, brakes, batteries. Three tires, buy three select tires, get one free with paid installation. They've even got interest-free financing with approved credit. Go to BigOTires.com to see the location nearest you and sign up for our tailgate package here at the Big O Tires in Lee's Summit. Basically, we're at the intersection of 3rd and 50 Highway, 1125 Southwest Oldham Parkway. It's on the outer road. Bob Glauber, our NFL insider, is with us from the New York Newsday. And Bob, let's talk a little bit about the announcement that Patrick Mahomes is back with the Kansas City Chiefs, or back as the starter. I guess he's always been with them. But back as the starter, the Chiefs now have, to me, a much easier road than people may realize. We've been going over the schedule, and Curtis, you might get that in front of you real quick. They don't have a Bengals, they don't have a Jets, but they've got a number of teams below 500. They head into the easier portion of their schedule. I've kind of felt like this is a great spot for them to be. I asked Matt Moore this earlier this week. Like, do you love where you're at in the sense that you're getting guys back, you're getting healthy, you're 6-3. No one's really talking about the Chiefs. They're like listed at 5 or 6 in those power polls. Yet with their schedule and the fact that they've got a head-to-head game against the Patriots, they're very much alive for the number one seed. Do you want to call your shot and take the Chiefs to be the number one seed now that Patrick Mahomes is back?
Well, I think it'll be between – I mean, I think it might very well be who wins that Patriots-Chiefs game. Unless the Patriots are now coming into reality check where Baltimore kind of slapped them in the face and brought them out of the funk of they were kind of riding high against bad teams. You know, we're talking about an epic defense, a historic defense. not the case, you know, after Baltimore got done with him. So I think it's probably going to be between those two teams.
Curtis, you've got that schedule there. The difference is, while the Chiefs and Patriots, when you total it up, looks the same, really the Chiefs' schedule is largely weighted by just that one game against the Pats, right?
Yeah, they're both one under as far as their opponent's schedule, but the Patriots have five games against teams with winning records. The Chiefs right now, only at the time we did this, only had one. They now have two because Oakland moved to 5-4 last night. So even though the numbers overall are the same, the Patriots have many more, I think, opportunities to lose than the Chiefs would by that token.
Yeah, I think that's big. Unless you think that the Ravens are, you know, the real deal. I know the Chiefs won head-to-head, so Chiefs fans are going to say, well, I'm not worried about the Ravens. But with a young quarterback, he has a chance to get better and better, as does Patrick Mahomes, but Lamar Jackson a year younger. Do you think that the Ravens are a team that will seriously contend for the number one seed as well?
Saran, I don't know about the number one seed. I think the Ravens are still learning how to win. They've done a terrific job with that. And I think John Harbaugh, can we call him one of the most underrated coaches in football right now? Because I think he is. The guy is he's a rare breed. You know, there are not a lot of coaches who stay with one team for a long time. And Harbaugh is an outlier there, as is Mike Tomlin, obviously, as is Belichick, Andy Reid now getting to that spot with the Chiefs. Just not a lot of them. And it's hard to kind of weather those rebuilding-type situations, but I think Harbaugh has done a terrific job. And they have been very imaginative with Lamar Jackson and kind of taking advantage of his strengths. He's a great player to watch. His ability to kind of make something out of nothing with plays is tremendous. And his ability as a runner is just, like, he's just overpowering. And he's got burst, and like scouts like to say, he's twitchy. And it just means he can react very quickly, cuts very quickly, and it's great to watch, and it's interesting because it's so different.
Why is Andy Reid 1-7 against the Titans? Is that just an anomaly? 0-4 with the Eagles, 1-3 with the Kansas City Chiefs. Is that just an anomaly? And there's multiple coaches in that mix. What leads to this?
Yeah, that's a tough one, Saran. I think that, you know, unless you have it's a certain coach that he's going against, this is a variety of coaches. I don't know if there's any explaining it. I love that word anomaly. I'm glad you have it in your vocabulary. It's impressive.
Thank you.
Now you have Manja and Ajita as well, thanks to our relationship. So that's good.
Right.
But I don't know that you explain that any other way. That, you know, it's just kind of one of those things. Now, the Titans are in a spot where they've got to kind of do it now or not, and you know their season is going to be over. So they're a little bit of that desperate team situation right now. Desperate teams often play better. Derrick Henry, quality running back, and Ryan Tannehill has kind of done some things now that they made that move. When he's healthy, he's not. I don't want to say he's not terrible. What a compliment, right? But, you know, he's okay, right? Yeah, when he's healthy, he is not terrible. Go ahead.
Well, what do you think of Vrabel as a coach? I mean, listen, full disclosure, you know, after talking to him at the American Century Championships in Tahoe and then talking to him again on the conference call or being part of the conference call, but I had a chance to sit there, and he sat at the table and kind of BS'd with us for a little bit after we got done with the conversation at the driving range this past July. I mean, he's a great guy. So I'm probably biased, but he is a classic guy that I think may very well get fired because they can't get the quarterback right above him. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, that's you know, we've talked about it a million times. Who always gets the jobs? The coordinators for the Hall of Fame quarterbacks. And in reality, who are the guys that are really getting it done? It's guys like Andy Reid who are winning with less than Hall of Fame quarterbacks. And Mike Vrabel's a guy that, to me, is kind of punching above his weight when it comes to what he's had at quarterback. Yet I do think that in Tennessee they'll probably be saying, well, he can't get us over the hump. It's Mike Vrabel's fault. What do you think of Mike Vrabel, the coach?
You know, Saran, I think it's incomplete yet. He's a young coach, and he kind of went up the ladder very quickly, thanks I think largely to his association with Belichick. He's on that tree and did a good job in Houston. And, you know, there's a lot of coaching openings now, and they got to fill in with somebody. So he's one of those young, promising guys. He's a tough guy. He is an old-school type guy. Doesn't always, you know, rub people the right way and kind of gets in your face and gets up in your grill when he has to. So I think it's still incomplete, and I think they're going to be a little bit more patient with him than you might think. You know, they tried it with Mariota. I think that Vrabel handled Mariota quite correctly going into the year. He basically said, hey, you know what? He's got to show it. And this is the year he's got to show it. And if he doesn't show it, then we're going to have to make a change. And that change came maybe a little earlier than expected, but you just can't keep waiting around for a guy like Mariota who was not developing. It's the same thing every year, every game. Oh, I got to do a better job at seeing the field. I got to do a better job at getting to the open receiver. You know, it's the same stuff. So I think that change had to be made. And if he can kind of patch it together with Tannehill, I still think he's got another year or two before they start looking elsewhere. So I think Vrabel is still set in Tennessee.
When do you believe that the Chiefs' defense is real? Three games they've averaged. I ran the numbers out there on the Chiefs. If they'd done what they've done against their last three games, which has one bad opponent in the Denver Broncos in that mix, but two really good ones in the Packers and Vikings, they're a team that right now would have been like, I think it's 14th against the pass over the last 3 weeks, what they've given up would be 14th against the run, like 8th against the pass, 11th in yards, 8th in points. I mean, they feel kind of top 10-ish in defense, mm-hmm. something that they haven't been for a long, long time. But these three games, which include the Packers and Vikings, they've been really good. When do you buy in that the Chiefs defense is a defense that's at least top half in the league?
Hey, I think I'm buying in now. You know, I'm not going to call them top 10 just yet. Top half, sure. And I think Spagnuolo showed that he can do it. You know, he's had some teams. You know, with the Giants, he won a Super Bowl, and after a very weird start, they gave up 80 points in their first two games in 07, and they went on to win the Super Bowl, and they were great. And he was a highly sought-after coach who stayed another year with the Giants and then went to the Rams. It didn't work out. He's had terrible defenses. You know, in New Orleans, it was atrocious. So I think the system works. I think the core values of what he preaches works. You know, it's attack. Play hard with your front seven, get to the quarterback with four rushers if you can, and go from there. So I think that they've taken to it, and I don't think this is a mirage. I think this is what you're seeing, and I think Andy Reid had to make a move with this coordinator, and I think Spagnuolo is doing a good job.
Yeah, by the way, I found my notes on this. 11th in points, 8th in yards, 6th against the pass, and 14th against the rush. That's where they would rank if what they've done over the last three games they'd done all year. So they're playing significantly better defensively. And you know, they do have a Coordinator of the Year award now, don't they?
There is, well, some groups. PFWA has an Assistant Coach of the Year, I believe. And I think AP has Assistant Coach of the Year in addition to Coach of the Year. I think. I'm not positive on that. I am a voter. I should know
okay.
about that.
Yeah. Way to go. Good job. bang up effort out of you. All right, one more on the Chiefs. Curtis, stunningly, looked this up because he's got some free time on his hands, it turns out, and because he's really good at his job. That's the other part that I'll point out. Chiefs have gone 35 consecutive games without losing by more than 8 points. So, in other words, they've gone 35 consecutive games with only losing by one score, right? One score and at least mm-hmm. a two. That is, and Curtis, I mean, you told me this, but now I can't remember where I put it on here. That is, what, seventh longest in the history of the NFL?
It is currently tied for seventh in the longest in history. With
okay.
one win, they'll lose the full possession.
Okay. And all of you going to Tennessee can relax. I'm not going on that trip, so you don't have to worry about me jinxing it, because the last time they did get beat by more than 8 points, I was there. It was in Dallas 3 years ago by the Cowboys. They lost by 11. in a game that, you know, that was the one where they had the great end of the first half play to Tyreek Hill. They basically ran a deep screen when the Cowboys were in a super deep prevent, and Tyreek Hill ran it in. That got them back to within a score, and then they just did nothing in the second half. It just sucked. But what does that say to you? I mean, number one all time is, what is it, Curtis?
46 by the Seattle Seahawks from 2011 to 2014, and more revealing, the second longest active streak to the Chiefs, 35, is 10 by the Chargers. They finally moved ahead of the Houston Texans with their 10th game last night, 35-10.
So what does that streak mean to you?
That streak to me means good coaching when you're competitive in games. Now, look, it's a league that, you know, close games are kind of the norm, but when you've got an assemblage of games like that and that long and that consistent, that to me is really good coaching. And I think Andy Reid has that. And I think that's what that is a reflection of.
All right, we'll take a break. We're going to talk more with Bob Glauber, get a little bit more into what's going on in the league. And I want to talk about some of the assistants that are being talked about, if we've got time, for head coaching openings, because I think it is, again, some of the same mistakes. Plus, who's going to be drafting a quarterback? I read some of the most foolish stuff I've ever read. Not written by Bob Glauber, mind you. Not written by Bob from the New York Newsday. Our NFL Insider, he's brought to you by Worth Harley-Davidson North. We're broadcasting live today at Big O Tires, where you can buy three select tires, get one free with paid installation, as well as great early Black Friday sales on oil changes, brakes, car batteries, much, much more. Plus, get you signed up to win that great tailgate package. It's here at Big O Tires. We're broadcasting in Lee Summit, 1125 Southwest Oldham Parkway.
The program with Soren Petro. Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we're live today at Big O Tires, 1125 Southwest Oldham Parkway, here in Lee Summit. That's basically 3rd Street and 50 Highway. If you're looking to swing on by and say hello, you can get registered. Got a great tailgate package. If you're going to go anywhere by where we're at, you really need to get in here and sign up. It is a basically tickets to the pro team, local pro team, know what I mean. A new grill, a $100 gift card to do some grocery shopping. A night stay at the Embassy Suite, so you're right there. And oil changes and alignment from Big O Tires for a year. You cannot beat this deal, and all you got to do is sign up. Don't have to be present to win. So come on in to Big O Tires here in Lee Summit, and, of course, take advantage of all the specials on the buy three select tires, get one free with paid installation. Black Friday savings already on oil changes, brakes, car batteries, and a lot more. Go to BigOTires.com and see my guys about any work you need done with your vehicle. Take advantage of it. BigOTires.com. We're talking to Bob Glauber, our NFL insider. He's brought to you by my guys at Worth Harley-Davidson North. Bob, first of all, I want to ask your thoughts on where you think the Chicago Bears are going after Mitchell Trubisky goes and basically, I thought, made a, you know, an ill-advised statement, because people are going to take it and run. And certainly, like, I know that there's a big, we played some of the audio of Get Up, the morning show on ESPN television, and Damian Woody just going off about how his head exploded. You know, he said, we don't need this noise. He turned the TV off, didn't like hearing how everyone was complaining about the Bears because we don't need this noise. And a lot of people interpreted that to, I don't need this noise, and I can't take the criticism, which I think is somewhat unfair. But listen, when you're a quarterback, you got to choose your words wisely. I've said, like, that's why here in Kansas City we're in good hands. It's why Mitchell Trubisky should not have gone in front of Patrick Mahomes. Is one, Mahomes is nails. He never slips up and says anything wrong, and Trubisky's danced around this a number of times.
You know, it really is an unfortunate incident. I don't think he's going to kind of shake it anytime soon unless his play improves dramatically quickly, and I don't think that's happening. I think he is what he is, and that's a limited quarterback, a guy who absolutely desperately needs the threat of a play-action pass to succeed, has to have everything go well around him. He's not a guy, he's not a, lift a guy on his shoulders type quarterback like a Patrick Mahomes. It also helps, and I tell you, I'm thinking of this with Daniel Jones now, coming from Duke, you know, not a renowned program. He goes into New York. Similar with Trubisky, not around sports, you know, like Patrick Mahomes was around pro sports his whole life. And I think there's so much of an advantage to doing that. I saw it with Eli Manning, being around Archie Manning, Peyton Manning, same thing. When you have that experience where it's just a part of your life, that is so much better. And that's the kind of slip-up that Trubisky made that is just not a good look. You know, oh, we don't need this noise? No, no, no. You don't need the noise. And, you know, hey, tough league, Buttercup. You got to get it done. And yeah. There's going to be
what did he have,
criticism
like,
if you don't get it done.
And what did he have, like 15 starts or 16 starts at North Carolina? I mean, that's twofold. It's one, it's a lack of experience at a higher level, at the minor league level that basically the NFL uses, as well as not having the experience being the guy and having to answer the questions all the time and really being tested leadership-wise. And, you know, I think Matt Nagy kind of burned himself too by jumping on board. I know he's trying to say the right thing, but saying, oh, he was number one on my board. Remember he said that last year? Now, Mahomes hadn't blown up for 50 touchdowns and been the MVP, but he jumped right out there and said, oh, he was number one on my board on Trubisky. Okay, well, now he becomes your guy. You may not have been there when they picked him, but now he's your guy because he was number one on your board, so don't screw this guy up. And then Nagy's not handling, you know, when he went with his that whole, you know, no thought to running the ball, no thought to passing the ball. I mean, you're in the get-it-right business, guy, and acting like you got it right when you lost is never a good look. I get what Matt Nagy was trying to say. There's no doubt that 2 weeks ago what he was saying is, I don't have faith in my quarterback and offensive line. And everybody knew it, and he burnt himself. And I think he had a pretty nice little shelf life for himself there till he jumped in with 2 feet and started kind of enraging the fan base. I don't think he's going to get fired after this year, but I think he's going to need to bounce back next year. And that means he's going to need to get it right at the quarterback spot, or I think the Bears' head will be looking for a new quarterback after 20. Do you read it the same way there in Chicago?
I absolutely read it the same way. I think that's a spot-on analysis of it. Nagy did a tremendous job. Look, the guy was coach of the year last year. Excellent job. Another Andy Reid product, part of that great Andy Reid coaching tree. And he was great, but everything went great. And that's the kind of season it is. That's why in this league, you know, I think back to coaches. Bill Parcells was always big on this. Hey, fellas, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And that is so right at every level of this sport, whether it's a player or a coach. You can have a good year. You know what? Do it again. Hey, you have another good year? Do it again. Keep doing it. And that's the only way you have long-term success in this league. And we've seen so many coaches just kind of come and go. They're shooting stars. And they have a great year. You figure, oh, wow, Nagy. Well, what imaginative. Oh, Reed did a great job with him. But, well, you know what? You're going to run into problems. And when you run into problems, that's going to define what you are and who you are. How you come out of those challenges determines what your legacy is as a coach and as a player as well. And Nagy's faced with it right now. How he comes out of it is going to define how he does with the Bears and how long he does it with the Bears.
I heard somebody say, and out of Jed, how long did you say for me, buddy? I'm sorry. Okay. Was that in my ear or on the air? Okay, just to me. Good. Well, then add one. I'm directing while we go, Bob. The Jets, I heard like the Jets listed along with, it was like the Jets, the Redskins. They were talking about the draft and how Chase Young at Ohio State, who, by the way, got suspended for the game for a loan that he got for a car before he was a freshman from a family friend. He got a loan for a car from a family friend who's been his family friend since right before his freshman year. Ooh, go figure how that worked. But which, for the NFL, who cares? If he gets suspended the rest of the year, it just means he won't get hurt and he can be ready to go in the NFL draft. I read a thing that says, he's the number one guy. Don't even talk to me about Tua. They've got so much more breakdown to do. Plus, you know, teams like the Redskins and the Jets you know, they're not going to be taking a quarterback. So there's a lot of teams up there fighting for the number one pick that aren't going to be taking a quarterback. You're an idiot. Let me enunciate well. Idiot if you don't go quarterback with the number one overall pick. How did Cleveland do taking Myles Garrett number one overall? That didn't turn the franchise around. Now, listen, if you don't like any of the quarterbacks, fine, pass. But there is nothing about what the Redskins have at quarterback or the Jets have at quarterback or, frankly, the Giants have at quarterback that you should preclude yourself from taking a quarterback. I think Tua Tagovailoa is the real deal. I think he's going to be injury-prone, kind of Montana style, because he's not the biggest guy and he's already battled injuries at Alabama. But his accuracy is special. It is special. And any team that passes on him up that high, you don't pick first if you have the answer at quarterback. You don't pick second or third or fourth or fifth or sixth. If you have, like, Atlanta does not have the answer at quarterback, okay, because clearly he's not good enough to turn this thing around. Do you agree?
Well, that's a tough one. And I think a lot of teams that do feel like they have a quarterback will pass on Tua at one, if it's one. Say if the Jets have one, I don't think they go quarterback. I think they just kind of.
Oh my God! Oh good!
I'm telling you. Well, you think so?
I'm thrilled.
You're gonna eject on Darnold after 2 years. You're gonna eject on Daniel Jones after 1 year.
No.
You know it happened.
No.
With Josh Rosen.
No.
Right. What? So what?
No. I'm gonna go Jimmy Johnson. And I'm going to draft Steve Walsh after I already had Troy Aikman. And nobody calls that guy a moron.
Yeah, but that was – he just drafted him to trade him. He knew he was going to trade him. That was just a –
That is a load of crap. That is not true. And there have been many a book written that say that that is not true. Plus, I've talked to people who worked in the organization at that time. And I've talked to people who say that Jimmy Johnson had to be talked into taking Troy Aikman.
Well – all right, I don't know. I mean, I think that everything that I recall from that era, maybe I could be wrong, but you know that seemed to be a shrewd way of getting some draft capital for it. But you know, and I think you know they did compete with one another, and Aikman obviously held them off and went on to a Hall of Fame career. I don't know, man. I don't think teams will do that. I mean, Dave Gettleman drafted Daniel Jones 6th overall. They're 2-7 right now. If they get the number one pick, I just don't see him drafting Tua because it's like it just doesn't. Basically, it's saying I screwed up with Daniel Jones, and he's got his entire career stake to that.
Bob, you are the man. You're wrong, but you're the man. We'll talk to you next week.
It's the Jazz End of the Hour Question on the Half Shell. Sponsored by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.
Laissez le bon temps rouler.
All right, how many pitchers have won the Gold Glove and Silver Slugger in the same season? Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.